Good evening. Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Tuesday evening, March the 5th. My name is Sean, and I'm here with my sister in faith, Cindy. And we've got some really good things to talk about tonight, given by Yah. And me and Cindy will be back with you in just a moment. Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Well, Cindy, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Glad to be here.
Cindy's drowning herself in cough drops and water and the heater going, so she's not feeling the best, but she's here with me doing the best she can, so We'll forgive you here for your coughing and the cough drops and all that stuff. We know exactly what that is. We've all been through that. Y'all wanted me to bring out something to the listeners, those that listen now and those that listen during the day and in the future, that those that are tuning into the podcast, those that are tuning in consistently, that the purpose of this podcast is, this is not for us to bring information and you're just supposed to sit there and say, yep, that's the truth. That makes sense. That what Yah wants me to tell everybody is that the ultimate goal of this is to seek God with all your heart and really dig into the Word and really ask them through prayer to ask them, cry out for insight, call aloud for understanding so that you can discover the truth. Because even if we tell you things that if you don't discover it for yourself, you're not going to understand it. That the point of this is yes, take in, and there may be things that hit you that, wow, that really makes sense. If something really comes to your mind and really stands out to you and makes sense, don't let go of that. Really hold on to it and look into it and ask Yah for help, because what they're wanting is those that are really seeking this is to go to them, look it up, and don't just take, like the old saying, don't just take our word for it. That make sure that what we're saying, that it lines up with what the Word of God says, what it says in the Bible. And if it does, then believe that. And if it lines up, which it does with what we're saying, but just make sure that it does line up, because you don't want to, the point of this is not to depend on us. Like, for example, this shouldn't be your church. This should be a way to get information, understanding, and either to some point starting a church led by Yah or finding those that are of the true church and fellowshipping with them. So just to bring that up, because the things that Yah is giving us is revelation from them, revelation from information that we've sought after with all of our heart in the Word. And so as a statement, just to say that just because we say things doesn't mean that everything that we say out of our mouth is exactly accurate, because there are times where we'll be corrected. So it's getting away from a dependency on, well, that sounds good, that must be true, to make sure that it does line up with the Word, because that's what we're making sure that we're doing in everything that we do. So just to put that out there, that trust God and worship God, not us or the things that we say. And with that being said, my sister Cindy is here. She's Phil's wife, and she's got a really interesting topic, something really profound that Yah gave to her. And we actually talked about it in our gathering, and we'll be getting to it, see where Yah goes with this, and has a personal experience with this as well. So with that said, Cindy, I will turn it over to you to bring out whatever Yah wants you to bring out for us, and we'll discuss and go from there.
So I'm really happy to be here tonight. I don't participate in the podcast very often, but I was asked to be here tonight, and I was to bring the subject. And the subject that I'm going to bring tonight is very, very close to my heart, literally and physically and mentally. So I just want to share my testimony about this first before we kind of dive in. So over the past year, I have been to many, many doctors, and I was having a health issue that ended up being breast cancer. It wasn't a serious breast cancer. Cancer is cancer. But I was diagnosed with stage at first zero breast cancer. And then it had moved by the time I was done to stage one. And I had surgery to remove my left breast. And it was revealed to me that this happened because, and it's been very many years ago, that I was in a Baptist church and I had a lot of friends, and I was a young mom at the time as well. And I was coveting them, my friends. They were all seemingly, and I'm going to say seemingly now because I can see that now, maybe not then. they had money and, from what I could tell, great marriages. And my my best friend, you know, we had kids about the same ages, and you know, she had a big house and I was renting a house. And so there was a lot of, in retrospect, not in conscious thought, covetousness with my friends. And it's interestingly enough that when we did finally leave the church that we were going to start our own, there was only one friend that really has, and that we have really kept up with. Everybody else seemed to just dissipate with this new endeavor that we were taking and not supporting it. So, with that being said, this has been 20 years-ish now that we got away from the church, but the The damage was done with what I got, with the cancer that I got, was the result of being covetous of others at that time. And that was my, I wouldn't say punishment so much as the result of having covetous thoughts and and not even knowing at the time. And it was brought to my attention that in church I was to have a lesson about covetousness, and that is why that I thought this would be a really good topic. One, because like I said, literally, it's close to my heart, and it's just something I would want to pass along to whomever want to listen. That what you do and how you think and what your thoughts are can be devastating in the long run, and have consequences. And I would want to try to help anyone skip the consequence if they can, if they can recognize that they are being covetous with a friend, a family member, or whoever, the job, the car, the house, the whatever, and to just really, really evaluate what it is you're coveting and why, and is it really appropriate?
And I don't know if you have this in you. Do you have a definition that Yah gave you of what it means to covet? Just so we could get that, just to let people, because it's one of those where people could say, oh, I know what coveting is, but I looked it up before we even started, just had some thoughts. Did you get something from Yah that just to have their perspective on this?
The first definition that I have is the yearning to possess or have something that is not yours. And then I had added with Yah the desire for what belongs to another, and then eventually taking it.
Because I was thinking about this, that in the Old Testament, because Yah says in their law that do not covet your neighbor's wife, to say like the neighbor's possessions, their animals, their, like that you want something that somebody else has. And as you were speaking, I had a thought on this, never thought of this, that when you're looking at somebody else, if you're not looking at them based in the truth of God, then you're looking at them with your own perception. And it came to mind is it really that you want what they have, or you want what you think they have? And I was thinking about this, like I could look at you and say, you know, Cindy, I really want your job because you have the best job. You get off on the holidays, you get a big, and I'm just making this up, but like you have a big break and it's not fair and da da da, and we could go. But unless I'm you and I know what it's about, then one, are you really understanding what you're desiring of that person? Or are you just, well, yeah, I want that. And I'm just seeing this as by doing that, you're cheating. Because you're, all right, I could say, I want, let's say, like, if you're a teacher, I want to be a teacher like you. Okay, well, what's the way to pursue that? Go through the processes that you had, and then I'll be able to be a teacher. But for me to just say, I want what you have, you're not willing to put in what's necessary in the right way. So it's really, is that the best for you anyway? It's like I was thinking about that, stop being concerned about what somebody else has because you think by you getting that you're going to be satisfied. But the only way to have what you have is I would have to be you, because I can assume that everything I'm doing will get me what you have. But unless I've walked in your shoes, I can't have what you have. I can have what I'm thinking. Like I could look at somebody and say, well, I want that. Well, what do you really want? Do you really want their whole life, or do you just want that circumstance? Why are you not content with what you have? Why are you looking to somebody else to get satisfaction or needs met? And I'll let you speak more to this, but I had the thought of, do we really understand when we're coveting something, like what we're actually doing? Do we think it's the best thing for us? Because if I get that, then I'll be this and I'll be that. And because there's a reason why Yah is saying this. It's not just Yah says it. But there's a reason, because what's the best for everybody? Is it really better for you to want what somebody else has? Or is it better for you to see God with all your heart and be close to God, and whatever God gives you, that you're going to be okay with it? So quit looking at what somebody else has to be what you desire, is what was just going through my mind.
Yeah, I was listening to actually a sermon this morning or this afternoon, and I found this to be very interesting, because this is an example of not covetous speech, okay? Your friend buys this outfit and you say, oh, I really like that outfit. I really want that outfit. That's not necessarily coveting, because you can go buy that outfit. And if you buy the outfit and it's cute on you, you can say, oh, that's cute on you. It's not coveting, because you can buy it yourself and you have it. The coveting part is the part that when you want something that's not yours, say I bought a charger, which is like a Dodge Charger. Oh, Dodge. And You're like, I want that. And then you take it and you steal it. Now we're looking at Grand Theft Auto, and that is truly coveting because you have taken it. For me to go buy an outfit that I saw somebody wear is not necessarily coveting because I didn't take what was theirs. I went and bought. I copied them. And what the gentleman that I listened to, it said, the Bible doesn't say, it says not to covet. It doesn't say not to copy. So you can copy. Like if you are really desiring a wife, you just don't take somebody else's. You do the steps it takes, like you were saying, like I do the steps it takes to be a teacher. You do the steps it takes to form a relationship with somebody, and therefore they may can be your wife at some point. Not to covet somebody else's wife. Like if you want somebody else's wife, now we're talking a different story. We're talking a different level of want and desire. Because if you go after somebody else's wife, well then that is totally against God, and that is truly a covetous act. So it was just interesting to see that there is, everybody wants stuff, but it's how you go about doing, or how you go about getting the thing, and in what is your mindset in getting the thing that you want.
Yeah, I just in my mind, I just keep going back to you're trying to take a shortcut instead of just following the guidelines that's necessary. Like somebody could say, "Why covet? I want to talk like Sean on the podcast does." But the only way that you can do that is to go through what I've been through. But see, that's the thing. It's like we're blinded to it. We don't see or think about what somebody has, what they had to go through to get it. And I think, just like you said, copy is a great example, because think about that. Are we to say that we're not supposed to copy Messiah? Of course. But I want to be Messiah. Be careful with that one, because one, you can't be, but if you were to do that, then that means that he would let you borrow his faith, and he's not. I'm seeing it as just being fair and just that, all right, you can, like you said, all right, you want this dress, then I'll show you how to get the material, how to sew. I'll give you the pattern and you can have it. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, I want it. It's like a selfish, well, no, I don't care about you. I'm just going to take it, and you steal it. And that's not godly, because there's another, and I don't know if it's maybe one of the scriptures that Paul is talking about getting away from the deeds of the body. And he says that get away from idolatry, which is covetousness, which you think about it, that I want the Dodge Charger. Just, oh my gosh, that's like the best. And well, make sure you're not worshiping that thing, but all right, you want the Dodge Charger. All right, well, what's the right and fair way to get this car? Do you have money? No. Okay, well, then you get a job, or you borrow money, or you get a loan, and you can get it legitimately. And that's the thing, is that when John was getting these great revelations and writing the book of Revelation, that it's like he fell on his knees before the angel, and the angel was like, no, don't worship me. Don't idolize me. Don't. No, it's God, because look to God and get your satisfaction and your contentment from them, and you'll get away from being in that wanting. And I agree with what you said. It's not that you don't want things, but if you're always in like a state of want, that like you're never satisfied, then in faith in God, we should be looking to find the place of that contentment, which is, I'm not going to covet things. I may look at things and evaluate and say, I would like to be able to play, because I'm a trumpet player, I'd like to be able to play trumpet like that, but I'm not going to look to be like them, because I can't be them. I'm going to look to be better than them. I'm going to look to studies did you, who did you study with? What materials were you using? What, so that I can be better and not, because if you think about this, if you're like the show American Idol, I want to be exactly like them. Well, then you get no better than them. Then that's the best. If you're them, then that's the limit. So I'm just seeing this as that Yah is for the people of God walking in our law. No, don't look to take what somebody else has. If you see your neighbor's wife or something that you see that, but because think about the trouble you get yourself into, like Yah is sparing us a lot of trouble and pain on stuff like this, because we, how does this speak to coveting? Well, the grass is greener on the other side. But what happens when you get on the other side? The other side says, I want that. And then the other side says, I want that. And do I really want this? Because I know for me that I just want to be able to speak like Phil does. And it's like, well, I'll just get it. And all of a sudden it's just, here it is. And then it's like, but there's a lot of things he went through that I didn't realize he went through. And that's part of, so is it really necessary to covet that? Or is it better to just seek faith? And I'll get faith just like he does. And I don't have to copy him, but copy Messiah. And that's the thing, like the, you ever heard of the prayer of Jabez? We were talking about this. Does God want to hear the prayer of Jabez, or does God want to hear the prayer of Cindy, the prayer of Sean? Like, they've heard the prayer of Jabez, that even if you said the same words, are you having a relationship with Yah and talking to them, because they've already spoken to Jabez? That, and because I had a teammate that had the prayer of Jabez on his little cubicle, and I remember looking at it, and it's like, well, are you just, like, this is your prayer? But even if you say it to God, it's still not the prayer of Jabez. It's your prayer. But yeah, I'm just thinking about this, that it's like, where is the coveting going on that you don't see it? Because people may say, well, I don't covet anything. Well, as we go along here, you can, I'm sure that we'll get more information to where you can, yeah, you just may not recognize that you're coveting things.
I have the the definition of the Hebrew meaning of shamed, which is covet in Hebrew. And it's made out of three Hebrew letters, a chet, a mem, and a dalet, if you are familiar with that. But the chet equals fence or wall. It's kind of picture language. And the mem is water and chaos. And then the dalet is the door. And we know that Messiah is the door. And so entering the chaos of water and opening the door for the enemy, we want to make sure that we don't covet to allow space for the enemy to get in. Because in the true meaning of covet, and you wanting something so bad that you're willing to take it, is crossing a line. And the enemy is waiting and willing for you to cross the line. And we want to make sure that we stay in line with God and Yah, and not falling into the trap of the enemy. So I'll read that one more time. The entering the chaos of water and opening the door for the enemy.
Yeah, think about, you go to a dam and all of a sudden the levee opens, and you just open it a little bit and the water starts coming out, and then you open it more, and then you open it more, and then all of a sudden it just bursts and comes open. What's interesting, just thinking more about this, is that when this was given, that when the law was given to Moses, that this is, you could refer to it as the written law, but then with Messiah bringing in the spirit of the law, that just think about that, whether it says like, don't covet your neighbor's wife, their property, things like that, that in the physical. So what in the spiritual are you like, you have lust for somebody else, or you have, like you look at a woman or a woman looks at a man and you have lust for them, like you desire them, like you want, like coveting is like a desire that you really, you have a deep longing for something that isn't yours that you want. And Yah has a proper way to do things so that we don't need to covet other people or other things. Just do what's necessary in order to obtain whatever you're seeking after. Like you seek for God with all your heart. You don't need to go out of some strange way and just think that you're just going to get God on your side just flippantly and you're going to take something from God. Or no, if you don't go through the gospel message in the way it's supposed to go, then you're not going to get it. So you're not going to be able to covet it and just get it without putting in the work. That if you want this, then you're going to have to put in the work. You're going to struggle. You're going to suffer just like Messiah did. Those that claim to be in him must walk as he did. Well, if you would just covet that, then you wouldn't have to walk as he did. You would just take it. But that's the thing. You can't take somebody else's faith. If you covet it, that's not going to get you their faith anyway. That the only way for you to have faith is you've got to go through what's necessary to have your own faith. That like, even if I wanted your faith, I can't have yours. And that's the thing, is like, stop looking to want what somebody else has when you can't have what they have. You would just have to do, like you said, a copy. That don't waste your time doing that, because it's just going to bring you heartache. You're going to open the door of the chaotic water and the enemy comes in. So shut the door of the enemy to say, no, I'm not going to covet things. I'm going to do what is necessary and follow Yah's ways in order to obtain them. And if I do what's right and necessary, then I'll have what the word says I'll have. I don't have to cheat to get it. Like, there is no quick, easy way to have what we have. You've got to, each person has to put in the work, and maybe even having an experience similar to yours where somebody has cancer and they, because somebody would say, well, Cindy, I want to have the marriage that you have. Well, if you covet that, then what's going to happen is Yah says, okay, if that's the route you're going, then you're going to go through what you've been going through. And the person may say, what? Why am I going through this? I thought everything was great. Well, some things are good, but in order to have that, what you have, chaos was put to death. And I had to go through a lot of pain to get where you were. So it's like, don't think that I'm just seeing this more as I'm even talking, is like, there is no easy way, any easy button in faith in Yah. Like, don't think that you can just go and just get other people's things just because you want it and that's the right way. It's like, no, it's not. It's do it the way Yah says it, and then you'll find true contentment in Yah, to where you don't have to be in coveting.
And it's interesting because it's kind of a little funny story. I was on a youth trip with my kids and we were praying, and I was in the front row, this one arena or whatever. And I opened my eyes and these flip-flops walked by. I was like, I need to have those flip-flops. And I did the thing that I didn't take them from the woman that had them on her feet. But I did the thing. I found where they were and went to the store and paid way too much money for these cute flip-flops that I wanted. But I didn't covet them necessarily, because I took the steps to go to the right store to find the right flip-flop to buy them. So it was interesting. But one of the base reasons of coveting, I think, is that we all want to be like Yah. And it starts way back in Genesis with Adam and Eve. So I have just Genesis 30 open. And the enemy talks to Eve and says, you will be like God. And that's in reference to, let's see. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, who knew what that was going to be until it happened? But it was the fact that Eve wanted to be like God. And, you know, I don't want to be an all-knowing person because that's a lot. And that's only for Yah, only for God. But it definitely opens your eyes when you think you want. And I think that's what happens sometimes in coveting as well. If you actually take what yours or what you want for yourself, say you are going for that man or you're coveting somebody else's husband or wife or whatever it is, and you get it. And then you figure out that that is not exactly what I thought I was getting anyway. You know, it happens that way. And in verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And yes, she gained lots of wisdom at that point, but also in turn, her life in the garden, her perfect life or their perfect life in the garden was diminished because of the coveting, because at that point they were kicked out of the garden because of the coveting. That was, I would say, in a life that we can look back on, would have been a huge thing. It's a huge mistake. Like, you didn't make just a little mistake. You didn't make just a little thing. You didn't, it wasn't a little blurb. It was a thing. Now, it was a meant to thing. It was designed by God in that way. But it is definitely one of those things that, do you, one, if you have those thoughts, do you really know what you're getting when you get it? Do you really want what you get when you get it? And is it really worth it in those retrospect? Because I'm pretty sure that Adam and Eve really didn't want the consequences that they got, and they were forever lasting up till now.
As you were speaking, I was just thinking about why is, when Yah says to not covet your neighbor's wife and your those things, and I was just thinking, why is that? Like, what is the sin in it? Well, obviously we know the sin is the disobedience that you do covet, but what is the reason for Yah doing this? And you actually spoke it was because, think about it, what are you doing when you ignore that? You're not counting the cost. You're not thinking about what you're getting into. You're leaning on your own understanding. Because you think, oh, if I could get this woman, then I'll be satisfied and I'll get my pleasures. But are you really thinking about, are you counting the cost? Are you really evaluating what you're doing? And I'll just put it for that example, are you really wanting her to have a relationship, or do you want to use her for your own pleasure? Well, that's not beneficial to either one of you. Do you know her background? Do you know her upbringing? Do you know what she does? Do you know her attitudes? Why are you going after that when that man already has her as his wife. So why are you getting yourself, like, why are you letting the enemy get a foothold in instead of mind your own business? And if you want to have a wife, then you pursue a godly wife if you want. But I was just thinking about, like, really evaluate why you're doing it, because what happens is we lean on our own understanding and we're not thinking about what we're doing, and we get ourselves into trouble, and then all these different things come about, and then, like, well, yeah, I don't understand why. Well, it's because you weren't paying attention to what we were saying. You didn't understand it. And because think about it, if you were just minding your own business and you see somebody else and you think, I would like to have that, but let me just evaluate this first. Oh, wow. You know what? I'm watching this person. I don't want that, because I see the arguments that they're having. I see trouble. I see just violence. I see, you know what? I don't want that. I'm going to pursue God. And yeah, what do you want me to have? What do you, you know, help me with this? I'm just seeing this more as one of those where be careful what your desires are, because it'll get you every time. And I just see this as Yah and their law is to protect, to give us the best life, just stop wanting what everybody else has, thinking that that's going to give you what you really want. Faith in us, that's where you have your contentment. That's where you have your peace. Listen to us. Don't lean on your own understanding. And I just see this as a way of Yah just in their love and their, just as a way of protection, that this is to protect you from pain and strife that's unnecessary. And stay with me and follow this to where you go after, think about it, in this day and age, you go after somebody's wife, what do you think the husband's going to do? Oh, it's perfectly fine. Go ahead. It'll be, you're going to get a fight, probably violence. I mean, you could have different things happen, but it's, if you just went and stole somebody's wife and just took her, like, what would happen? Well, the police, and you'd have all this other trouble, and you get divorced, and then you have other things, and then, well, I thought it was supposed to be better. No, it is very important to evaluate, and especially when y'all bring something like this, that just the Hebrew entering the chaos of water, opening the door to the enemy, that think about what happened to the Egyptians when they were trying to stop the Israelites in the Red Sea, and all that water fell over on them. Well, think about that water just falling over on you, and it's throwing you around into chaos just because you're just so focused on what somebody else has instead of you putting in the work to get whatever it is. Do it the right way. Don't cheat.
Well, it's interesting too, is that when I was a child, we had a lake house. And so as I grew older, I really thought that would be the desire. That was the desires of my heart, that I could have that house. We'd have we'd have a lake house. Like, I always had a lake house when I was a kid. And then my dad got sick, and Phil and I had to start taking care of not only our own home, but then the lake house as well. And the lake house wasn't in that great a shape because my dad was sicker than we thought for longer, and things weren't being taken care of the way they were supposed to be. And then, you know, when he was living there, we were trying to buy groceries for him from afar and then take him down, and every other weekend we had to do. And Yah opened my eyes to say, it was hard. It was a hard time in general, just because my dad was sick. But in general, it was like, I don't want two houses. I can't take care of two houses. It's too hard. And we weren't like, it wasn't around the corner, two houses. It was 2 hours from here, which 2 hours isn't bad, but it still took up a lot of time to try to keep up what we had going on here and what we had going on there. And it was eye-opening that I don't really know. The desires on my heart were very worldly at that time. They were very selfish. at that time. And I'm in the household, and my siblings and I, we split the house money, whatever. And I'm glad I don't have it. I'm glad I don't have that burden, because it was a burden. And I didn't see it until it was there. I didn't see it until it was right on top of me. And it was hard to let go, but in the end, it was a relief as well. So we just have to kind of evaluate, what is the desire of your heart, and is it your desire or is it Yah's desire? And that's what Sean was saying earlier. It's like, we want to have what Yah wants. We don't want to have what we want, because we really don't know. We have a very short side, a very short vision, and Yah has a huge vision, an overwhelming big picture, and we have a very small slice of picture. And what they want and how they provide is so much better, and contentment can reign in their decisions versus what we think we need or want.
And could you speak on what you gave me, like, that? What is the, explain the aspect of the slippery slope between covetousness and discontent? Because I just had a thought on that, but I'll let you. How did that come to mind? What is that? Because that's an interesting concept with what we're talking about here. Because, like you said, it's not that we don't want things, but where do we put the emphasis on this? And, like, what is our want, and what's the reason?
Right. So I'm going to go to the scripture for this, and it's in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start, I'm just going to read, 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. Let me see here, hold on. So I'm going to start at verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Yahusha, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teachings that you have followed, having nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and life to come. With that being said, it is your contentment in these things that if we move on to the love of money, which is right through here somewhere, and about having the love of money and what that what we talked about with having nothing to do with godless myths, because the love of money is what causes discontentment. So you can be content, but then there's a very slippery slope and not a very wide margin between contentment and discontentment. And we want to make sure that we are, using and being on the contentment side. Because also in Timothy, it says that some at that time were coveting financial gain for the sake of God. We'll put it, quote unquote, sake of God. So the love of money is where Paul encourages Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And the good fight of faith is to always be on the side of God, but it's more about, and we talk about this a lot, is our consciousness and our subconsciousness. So we have a subconscious, which I'm sure this has been spoken about a lot of times. So you have your subconscious, which it kind of runs on like airplane mode all the time. It just does what it does. But your consciousness mind is where we roll on our conscious mind, but we want to dig into our subconscious about what is and what isn't. Is this godly? Is this not? Am I acting appropriately? Am I not? And we evaluate that, and that's what the good fight of faith is about, is that we are always striving to dig deeper, dig out what's bad, to get rid of, acknowledge. That acknowledge part is a little bit tough sometimes, to acknowledge what is not good in the subconscious and get it out so that we can have a clearer, cleaner mind for God. And that's the fight. And it's fight because it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. And I'll confess that I am not great at it. I'm really not. I mean, I dig into it, and sometimes like even this coming out, the covetousness came through Phil. I mean, when I was sick or at home sick, I was writing, I was praying. I'm like, why do I have this? I mean, I had some symptoms. I'm like, why is this symptom here? How could I evaluate this symptom? And things were not really necessarily coming to me. And then Phil shared with me his revelation of the fact that I had cancer because I coveted 15 to 20 years ago. And so, like, I'm not professing that I'm great at this because I'm not great at it, but it's something that we fight this fight. We continue on. We don't just say, oh, this is dumb, I'm not doing it. No, because that is leaving everything to fester that's not good in your subconscious mind anyway. So fighting this fight of faith is truly getting better for Yah every day and digging up, digging out what is and isn't needed in your brain.
I didn't know necessarily where you were going to go with Timothy, but I had a scripture come to mind that, and it's interesting how it's worded. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It doesn't say that godliness is great gain. It says godliness with contentment, being okay with your lot and your portion. That, if I remember, I think it was Daniel, it said that Daniel, for a time that you'll rest and you'll rise to receive your allotted and inheritance, your portion. And it made me think of, stop looking for your contentment from external things. And like you said, your lower conscience, look for contentment with God and what they have. Because the true contentment is the deeper and deeper trust in God. That's how Paul, he learned or was learning. And even at the end of his life, he could say that I learned the secret. And it's not that it's a secret. It's trust in God, because with his shipwrecks and getting bit by a viper and the beatings and the stonings and the persecutions and all these different things, that if he didn't have that, then he wouldn't be able to learn the secret. So it was he and Messiah the same way, that going through those, you learn what it is to be content, which is to not be in want. It's not that you don't want things, but your attitude is not, I want that, I want that, I want that. It's, yeah, I'm okay to have what I have. Thank you that I have breath this day. And it's just like you said, it's a practice, it's a growing. It's not you just, a stork flies over and drops contentment on you. You know, no, that it's a daily thing. But you have to go through the struggle in order to learn what it is. Because anybody, why would you not be content if you had no struggle? But the key is, I learned the secret. And it's really not a secret once you know it, but it's trusting God more and more. And I'll actually speak on something you had said, that we want what God wants, which is true. But it's just like anything, the moving on, the next step is I want this because I want it. That because it's right, it's fair and just. Like we start there, that I want the things of God because it's godly, because it's what God wants. And that's, but what God wants is what's fair, just, and right and true. So we take ownership, where then, no, I want this because it's right. It's fair and just. That's why I'm doing this. But yes, I'm doing this because it's what Yah wants, but I changed my reasoning from it is what Yah wants, but it's what I want. And that's the moving on in maturity, that you've got to go through struggle and suffering. Messiah even himself told me, embrace the struggle, because the struggle is how you learn contentment. That how do you go from one side where you're discontent to content? Well, it's a slippery slope, because the contentment is found in the godliness, but if you covet, then you're going to the side of being discontent. To the godly, you're going to the contentment side. So the balance is faith of, I'm going to stay in this balance line of contentment. I'm not going to go to one side where I covet, but I'm not going to go to the other side. I'm not going to veer to the left or right. Let's find the balance. And the balance is found ultimately in Messiah, where you can be content, like there's a rest. Well, because I'm content. Now, content doesn't mean that you don't do anything, you don't move. It just means you have a peace internally. And me and Lexi on the last Tuesday podcast, we were talking about this, and I had this thought, I think it was either today or yesterday, and I was like, happiness and peace, well, happiness is external, and peace is internal. So you can have happiness, but the true happiness should come from the eternal bringing out the external, not the external making the inside change. It's the internal to the external. And with this, let our satisfaction and contentment be in the things of God, not in what somebody else has. Because as y'all looking around and, well, I want what they have, I want what they... No, I don't want what they have. I want what's fair and just and right. And that's what I want for everybody else. So I'm going to tell you, don't look at somebody else and think that they're all that, in the old term, they're all that in a bag of chips. Well, a lot of that is perception, programming. But those listening out there, that what I'm really, and Cindy, I'll tell this to you too, that we... What I really enjoy about these podcasts is that Yah will give a concept like this that you may not even be thinking of, and it makes you think about things that you're doing that you're not seeing that you're doing, and you don't even realize it, to where just think about all the times that, man, I wish I could be on vacation. I wish that I could be off. I wish that I could leave work early. And it's like, wow, you just don't even realize that all you're doing it, that you're looking to escape something, to find something to gain some kind of happiness or peace. And ultimately, I just see Yah saying there's no reason to covet somebody else's things, because that's not going to bring you contentment anyway. It's a lie. It's unless that person, even if that person had the fullness of faith and you say, I want that, they're not going to give you theirs, and then you have it. You've got to put in the work. Like, no matter if it's for God or not, you're still going to have to go through a struggle to get whatever you think that you want anyway. And you hit it right on it, that is it, do we think that we want it, or do we really know that's what we really want? Do we really even know what we want? Like people would say, yeah, I want that. You don't know what you want, because the only way to really know is to know your lower conscience and why you're doing it. Well, why do you want that woman? I don't know. All right, well, you just said you don't know. So you don't know what you want. You think, because of some programming or whatever, that's going to bring you that happiness, that light at the end of the tunnel. And ultimately it won't. The only satisfaction, the only peace, and that's without finding faith in God, that nobody's going to find that contentment, that people are going to just continue coveting, because really the one they truly want is God anyway, because I want the one that can just bring me peace and just that can take all the pain away. And it's like, God is right there. But in order to, I'm not just going to give that to you. You're going to have to work for it. And if you follow my ways, you'll get it. You don't have to covet somebody else having this. You can have it yourself, but I'm not going to let you take the selfish route. You're going to have to do the selfless route, and you're going to go through, you're going to have to suffer like my son did as well. You're not just going to be handed a free ride just because you want it to be easy. And those listening out there, if you're pursuing faith in Yah, it's not easy. Now, there are moments of ease, but it's not an easy walk. And Cindy and I can both attest to that, that yes, there are moments of ease. And yes, there is ease in it as you go, but this is not a cakewalk by any means. Did you have a scripture?
I do. So one of the, what I was revealed to me today was, well, I was kind of looking through my papers that I had done, but the one that was revealed was the discontentment of Satan and him being thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be again like God. And he had it all and it wasn't enough. And are we living like, do you not have enough? Because he was, let's see, you were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and I expelled you, O guardian cherub. And I realize, and we have learned that this was purposed. He was purposed, that he had a purpose, and that's what he is now and today. But do we really want to be there and be discontent? And he was discontent with wanting to be like God and not being able to be God. So not that we've ever thought, oh, I want to be God, but have you ever made any kind of statement or any kind of thought process that you would be doing something different than that has happened? And then you did that. you just did the thing. But it kind of got me today when I was like, he was literally thrown out of heaven. He was there and he was thrown out. Like, he didn't have to even earn or, you know, do the things. He was just there. And it just made me really humbled that I don't want to be there. I don't want to do that. I know there's a lot of other characters or prophecy in the Bible that may have enlightenment on that as well. But I know that was a little bit, I'm sure it's stingy. You want to make sure that you're not following those rules. And I got this from another pastor, and it's like, a danger of coveting is that you don't necessarily have to attain what you want to do it. And one of the pastors that I listened to today said that, guess it was some sort of Catholic, where the priest, I guess the priest, said that he heard people confess murder and other bad things, but he had never heard anybody confess coveting, which is interesting because we all do it in some shape, some form. We have all done it.
And I just happened to look at the next sheet, that what happened to the Israelites when they were complaining about the manna and they wanted quail.
Oh, they got it.
that be careful what you ask for or what you pursue, because you'll get it, but you don't realize what you're getting with it. That, yeah, think about that. The manna that came down from heaven that fell on the ground, and oh, that this is what you need. And they did complain against it. And I know in my past I've complained about things, and you don't, it's not that you're intentionally complaining. It just from your programming and getting frustrated, things like that. But yeah, because the enemy, were you referencing the king of Tyre, that the prophecy about the enemy in Ezekiel? That, I mean, think about that he knew God. So it wasn't an aspect of faith, because there was no faith for him. And that's why that he can't, there is no repentance for the enemy, because he was on the holy mountain. Like, you're seeing God face to face. So there is no, well, I didn't know, or there is no opportunity for faith. But that's the thing, is that be careful, because Yah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they will deal with people, and they do, just like they did in the Old Testament. And people may say, well, that doesn't happen now. Well, in their patience, that it may not happen now, but just be careful, because just like those people were swallowed up in the earth, that in the end, when you people are thrown into the abyss, they'll be thrown into the abyss and it'll be sealed up. And don't make light of Yah's patience, which leads to repentance for people. So their patience allows people to have the opportunity. But yeah, I never, with confession and stuff, would people even think about coveting? Well, I don't covet. Like, I don't. Well, but Messiah says, if you look at a woman or a man with lust, isn't that coveting? You want, and this, that's the thing. Do you really want the relationship, or do you just want the pleasure from the person? So you're coveting. Do people look to covet God? Well, I want God for pleasure. I want God to give me what I want. Yeah, but that's not, is that really fair to God? Or, yeah, I'm just seeing this more as follow the way that Yah has it, and don't cheat and try to make it an easy button or a sneakiness, and just think that you can get the things of God by, you know, just doing enough to get by, or like a cheat sheet, or no, do it the way that it's supposed to be, and trust God, and find your contentment and your wants in them. And then you don't have to be concerned about what other people are doing. If anybody else wants to go after the world and money, and because you had said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say that money itself, because money is just a vice to be able to exchange, buy and sell. But the love of it leads to you wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting. And because think about it, wouldn't you think that somebody that won the lottery or a billionaire, that they would be content? But why are they not? Because they're wanting. Instead of, because I thought about this, the rich young ruler, was he coveting eternal life? Well, I've done all these things. It's what do I get? I want it. Do you? Okay, well, go and sell everything you have and get, well, oh, so you aren't willing at this moment to put in what it takes to get it. Okay. Because you thought that, well, I want that, but only if it's simple. And well, if I've kept the law, so that means I get it, right? And Messiah didn't say, well, he tested his heart to where, let's see, are you really going to be obedient to me or not? Are you going to sell everything and give it to the poor? Or what are you going to do? Because if you really obeyed the commands, then you will obey me, because I'm giving you a command, go and sell everything and give it to the poor. And he went away sorry, and it made me think about that. If he really wanted eternal life, then he would have done what Messiah said, but he didn't want it. He just wanted, can I get this and just keep everything that I have? And no, you've got to sell everything and give it. You have to be willing to give your very self in order to get it. But if he really wanted that, then he would have done what Messiah said to do. He had the thought about wanting it, but he didn't want it. But think about all the things before knowing this information, that how discontent are you during the day to where you're complaining and things aren't going your way and you don't understand and it's not fair and all this stuff. And I just want, yeah, people do it all the time. They just don't see it to where Word of God makes it clear. Do everything without complaining, murmuring, so that you may become children of God who shine as lights in a corrupt generation. Well, why are you complaining? Are you not content? Why are you complaining about this? Is it not enough? Are you wanting something else? And what are those questions you got there?
So these are some questions that I created when I presented this to our church. And they're really something to be thinking about and to evaluate your own coveting. What do you daydream about? What do you set your hopes on? Are you dissatisfied with what God has given you? Are you always thirsty for more? A covetous heart will gut your spiritual life and ruin you. Idolatry. Do you find joy in stuff? Do you value the gift more than the giver?
Well, with the word covetousness being idolatry, that Yah says there shall be no other gods before me. So if you put Yah first, Yah is not an idol. The idols are the things that are, don't put something esteem, like you said, don't esteem the gift more than the giver. Don't make something else an idol that you esteem more than God. Because if you seek God first, that will keep you from idols. Because what is an idol? An idol is just an object. It doesn't have life. It doesn't, wow, but we give it life. Like you could give an object life even though it's dead. Instead of, I remember it was in some scripture where Yah says, what are your idols going to do for you? Are they going to speak to you? Are they going to, they're just idols. Can they like worship you or bow down, or it's just an object, as opposed to that gets you into trouble. I mean, think about it, a TV show called American Idol. Well, we're not putting people above others. Yeah, you are. In Your Own Name or America's Got Talent, you idolize these people. Because you ever hear this, like, this person is my idol. So what you're saying is you want, what do you want? I want to be like, I don't know, like a movie. Like, I want to be like Paul Newman. I want to be like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. I want to be this big actor. I want to be just like them. Are you coveting them? You want to be like them? And it's interesting. If you talk to them, I bet you they would say, why do you want to be like me? You don't want to live my life. You want to be an actor? Then I'll tell you what to do, but you don't want my life. Oh yeah, I do. And no, if you were with me a week, you would be like, I don't want this life at all. Well, but that's the thing, because like you said, Cindy, God sees so much deeper and they know the problems that you'll get into by making somebody an idol. Because you don't know that person. You don't know. You just, like, for example, Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, and people are showing you what they want you to see. And you think, I want that. Get that person away from all of that. And you talk to them and you're like, I don't want anything to do with this at all. What am I thinking? That's why God's saying is that this law that I'm giving to you, it's a different life than what you're living. And it's a better life. And it's a way to protect you and to keep you from different things. But if you don't follow this, our ways, then you're going to have the consequence of, you know, what people with lots of money, like, what, why do you hoard up all the money? Well, because you're not content. That's who you trust in. Put your trust in Yah, in the truth of Yah, to where that's where your peace lies. And then what does it matter if you have no money, a ton of money? I mean, think about that we should be in a place where if we have a ton of money, we're okay with it. And we have no money, we're okay with it. But most of the time we're not. Well, can I just be in the middle there? Like, can I, so I don't have to, or like, what was the scripture? Give me neither poverty nor riches, because if you give me riches, I'll turn away from you. If you give me poverty, I'll steal. Well, that's a good example. That's the find the place of contentment, not that you're in poverty, but not that you're in riches. That I'll give you just what you need so that you're not, because, wow, think about that. God gives you what you need to sustain you. You don't need to be rich. You don't need to be poor. You're just right there in the middle, steady, the manna from heaven. You have enough food that you need. You don't need to. How about this? And you remember what happened to the person when they tried to get more manna than what they said? It turned to maggots. And quit coveting. Just get what you need for the day. I'll provide more. That's the thing. Like, it's like, you don't trust God. You just want to lean on your own understanding. Well, it's not enough. Or no, it is enough. Yeah, it is enough. But you have to trust and continue to trust to be content with that. Where what if Yah says, all right, you have no more house? Well, that's what Yah wants. Then as opposed to, well, no, we couldn't do that. Well, then, and that's the thing. Contentment is a state of being, like that you have to continually work on it in your faith, that because things are going to come up to test that. But Yah wants us to live in peace. They don't want us living in chaos. They don't want us coveting, because they wouldn't be bringing this out. But definitely that the life of God is meant to be peace and contentment. But if we don't learn these lessons and go over this, then we can never know this, never apply this information.
Yeah, I think that verse you were looking at, I was trying to look for it. It's plenty or want, and you don't want to be in a place where you have too much or too little. And that is the kind of the center mark of contentment, is that you don't have too much and you don't have too little. And one of the Bible verses that Sean referenced earlier was from Paul, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty or in want. I can do everything through them who gives me strength. And then there's a couple more verses that I'd like to share. One is John 2:15. It says, do not be caught up of the things of this world, longing for more than is seen. And 1 Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. You don't want to be in a place where you are wandering anywhere. One, the goads will get you first. And two, you don't want to be out of God's will or their house or their home or their place of safety.
In regards to the contentment and the discontent, I remember this, I'm confident that we talked about this in our church gathering, that you think about your life, and we mentioned your lot and your portion, that with what you're going through, that this is your lot and your portion. That, because I even went to Yah and asked them about, like, the situation that I'm in, is that my lot and my portion? And they said, yes. Well, then a lot of the hindrance can be you fighting against your lot and your portion. And I remember this coming to mind, that let's just say that you're in a situation where your desire is that, let's say, somebody would change and somebody would come to faith, or somebody would do something different. Or, and I remember Yah bringing this to me, that, well, what do you do if the person or the situation doesn't change? What if this person or this situation doesn't go away? And it really, as I'm even thinking about this now, to open your eyes to say, so that still puts it back on us as an individual to be content in your own faith, that you don't rely on other people or other circumstances to, it's not external situations that bring contentment. It's internal peace that brings contentment. Because those listening out there, let's say you have a struggle with a wife or a husband that's not in faith, not pursuing faith, wants nothing to do with it. That, do you say, well, the heck with them, I'm just going to leave faith or not do anything? Or what does it matter if somebody else doesn't do something or does something? Like with Messiah, that the one who's referred to as the one that the disciple, I can't remember, was it the one that Messiah loved? It was John. That he was out on an island by himself, and Peter was told the way that he would ultimately give his life for God. And I can't remember, somebody else, and then I think it was Peter that said, "Lord, what about him?" And Messiah Yeshua said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. That my lot and my portion is different than yours and everybody else's. What does it matter what somebody else's lot and portion is? Why do we complain and grumble that, well, I should have that or I should have this? Have you ever thought about that? Is with Cindy in this situation, what is that to you? You follow me. What is it that she's going through? That she's going through it for a reason. You know, who am I to judge somebody else's servant? That you answer to God, I answer to God, meaning like making a judgment. Like I can look at something, but hey, who am I to judge and say that, why is God doing this? Why is God doing that? That's you answer to God for what you're going through. And same for me. And just made me think of the contentment as a state of mind that ultimately is to a state of being, that each person has their own load to carry. And we need to stop looking at what somebody else is going through and why, and I don't understand, and just say, what am I going through? What am I to look at and to understand about my own situation and leave everybody else alone? It doesn't mean we don't say things to people or bring things up, but leave people alone, that they're going to have to answer to God just as we do. And this is just another way to just recognize that, do you realize where you're coveting and not seeing it? It's about the things you're not seeing in it that you're coveting, that you're not seeing. It's not necessarily that you change your mind and say, well, I'm not going to covet things, but what are the things that you're doing that you're not recognizing, that you have that lower conscience programming that you're not seeing that's rising up, that you're doing these things? But learn lessons from Cindy and her testimony, that deal with coveting now to where you could be somebody that 15 to 20 years from now or whatever, you're dealing with something that you can make a change now, and you don't have to go through something. Well, not that you wouldn't go through something, but you could spare yourself 10, 15 years from now going through something, that you can repent of something that Yah brings to you and then walk in it, and you don't have to go through, you may not have to go through certain things. It just depends on the person, but
I just wanted to bring to light as well. I know the ladies of our gathering talk about this often, is about how we are the example, and being the example of a content person and walking in faith versus being a discontented person walking in faith or walking around. And that's the thing that I want to just bring to your attention, because people are watching. They're watching you. They're watching you for a lot of reasons. And some of them, especially if you claim to have faith, they're watching you to judge or watching you to see how you're going to respond. And everything is in the response. And if you respond the way Yah wants you to respond, and it's in their will, then there is nothing you have done, and you've made a great example for whomever is watching.
And especially children, they're watching, and they absorb. And it's not even that people will say a lot of things, but they may not say it, but they'll see it, and people make mental notes and different things, and people will remember more bad things that you do than the good things most of the time. They'll remember that one thing that you did or the way that you acted, but then forget about all the other things that would be functional that you do. But these are things in the older way of we were going to church, that we didn't really get into deep concepts like this. It would be more of the word says, don't covet, just don't do it. Well, but if you don't know what coveting is, if you don't understand it from Yah's perspective, how can you make any change? That you're not going to be able to. You're just going to go on your own programming. and that was one of the things we talked about recently, the brainwashing and the mind control and the cognitive dissonance will get you to where people say, well, I don't covet. You know, I'm not looking to have what other people have. You tell me, Cindy, when, if you complain about anything, what are you doing? Do you want something that somebody else, why can't I get it? See that, and that's the thing that's speaking to me is, yes, things will be revealed to where you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I'm not doing that again. But then a complaint will come up. Well, I'm not coveting. Yeah, but this is your lot and your portion, and you've accepted it. Why are you complaining? Why just want, why? I mean, why can't somebody else just, so you want, are you not content? Well, and because I caught myself just thinking today, it was just like, why are they doing this? Why? And it's just, why does it matter? Did you agree to this job and you're okay with it? Then why are you complaining? Because you want somebody else to do something to make it easier or take the pain away. Or, and that's the thing is to really listen to yourself when you talk, because you tell on yourself that even a complaint, why wasn't, or really complaint, like throwing your hand up, complaint, well, I don't understand, complaint. But it's just a training, because we've been programmed to complain instead of now we've got to reprogram. And I will say this, that there is a place that is okay to complain, but it's from the aspect of you've evaluated it within yourself thoroughly and you go to God, and it's a godly matter that Yah will hear complaints, but 99.99% are not godly things. It's things that affect us to where, because if it was truly a complaint to go before God, you would say, well, Lord, you would have a reasonable, it wouldn't be a yelling, a screaming, it's not fair. It would be, Lord, is this really fair? Because, you know, why is this happening, or whatever? But yeah, this is another good topic. Just one of many that, just for everybody to take a deep evaluation, you know, on it and really think about it. But did you have anything else that you wanted to share? You're all good. I think this is a good stopping point for us. Yah's covered a lot of information. And you made it through. You didn't have any coughing that I can recall, maybe one or two. But so that's what Yah does, is when you think you have a plan with the coughing or the material, that they'll just say, you don't need the material. You, and I don't even know if you made it through everything or whatever you want to do, but Yah always takes care of it when we're, you know, looking to do what's pleasing to them. So, well, everybody, we appreciate you listening, and Lord willing, we'll see you on the next podcast. And for my name is Sean, and for Cindy, we appreciate you being with us, and we'll be with you on the next podcast whenever y'all wants that to be.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.